Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, here we are back in the studio for the last show of 2019. Put it down in the books. Boy, this has been a fast year, huh? So this is the last show of the year and last show of this decade and last show of the first 20 years of this decade. Wow. Whew. A lot of pressure, guys. Okay. Reggie, it's your last submarine sandwich of the year too, right? Okay, thumbs up for the sub, yes, and thumbs up for the, yeah, the dials, the meters looking good, okay. Mike is hot, talent is ready, three S's, star smile strong, and here we go. Let's leave 2019 on a good note here, ready? Let's make this a good one as we say goodbye to this decade and we forge ahead to the next 10 years. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com every Monday, a new podcast is posted, or wherever you find and download your favorite podcast. We're there too. Don't forget to subscribe and to rate. And most important, if you like what you hear, tell your friends. No better endorsement than your endorsement and your word of mouth. So send an email, send a text, or just tell a friend that you enjoy Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And that they should give a listen, too. Not asking much from you guys, just an hour a week. There's other ways you can waste an hour, and you know you do. So why not waste an hour with me? And your wasting of that hour is much appreciated. Hopefully it's not a waste. Hopefully it's something you look forward to. Certainly try my best to make it that. And don't forget, if you like what you hear, you can go to WGNplus.com where I have a landing page. Go to the entertainment section, hit Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and you will be able to hear all previous 187 episodes, which can only mean one thing. This is episode 188. And as I said, the final podcast of 2019 and the final podcast of this decade, and the final podcast of the first 20 years of this decade. Wow, a lot of baggage on this podcast. I hope it's going to be worth your while. I hope it's all of our worth of while. Wow. Yeah, the end of 2019 carries with it quite a lot of significance. It just dawned on me several months ago, too, how this was the end of the decade. You know, we go past all these years, but I was like, wait a minute, we're at 2019. We're going to go to 2020. And I really do hope, and if you've listened to me in the past, you know, I just said it, right? 2019. I believe that you say the year with 20 and the year, the 20, you know, 20, not, you know, 2010, 2012, not 2011, 2019, 2020. It's 2020. In the 1900s, when most of us were born now, or in the 2000s, you didn't say 1974, did you? Or 1972, did you say that? No. You said 1972. So you should say 2019, 2018. I know the 20, you know, 20-0-5s, and even that gets, because I'm a big stickler on the 0 and the 5. I've talked about that before, how we say O, and we, but it's really a 0. So a lot of times we would say, you know, 20-0-5. Well, it's not 20-0-5, really. It's 20-0-5. Then there was the aughts, you know, the aughts. So, yeah, the first 9 years, you know, were kind of an irritation for me because of my numerical picadillos here. You know, the 2000 was 2000, even though it should have been 20-0-0, which sounds crazy. You know, and there's the movie, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Well, it should really be 20-0-1, but that's clunky. And even I said 20-0-1, 20-0-6, but that's really wrong too. It's not O, it's a 0. So I was very happy when we finally got into a double digit. So then you say 2010, 2011. And I'm still hearing people saying 2011, 2019. No, you didn't say 1,984, did you? So now 2020. Hopefully 2020 will get people into this into their minds now and get into the habit of starting with the 20 instead of the 2000. Because 2020 is so simple and so quick and so cool. 2020, what year is it? 2020. So hopefully now more people are going to move away from that 2000 crap, which I couldn't stand. And because the 2020 lends itself. It would be weird to say 2020. Why go to that? Why say the thousand? Why make your mouth even move that much? 2020. Boom. Cool. 2020. It sounds cool. It's fast. It's quick. It's hip. Start saying 2020. 2020. Spread it around. 2020. Spread it around. Remember that? I remember that in school. We'd be sitting in a thing, you know, Tommy likes Nancy, spread it around. Same thing. 2020, spread it around. So here we are. I remember 2000. I remember when 1999 went into 2000, right? And if you were around at that point, you remember that the biggest kind of news surrounding that was the whole Y2K. We were afraid that the computers, when they were set up, were not set up for a 2000, and when it clicked over, planes were going to fall out of the sky, and the electrical grid was going to collapse, you know, traffic lights weren't going to work, it was going to be mayhem, it was going to be some, like a disaster movie, like Twister, you know, and Independence Day all rolled up into one, and there was Y2K, and everybody was worried about it. And what's going to happen when the clocks on all of the, they were really afraid that nuclear bombs were going to launch by themselves. There was that much fear and apprehension. And there was about a year before this, everybody was going in and companies were spending several thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars to make sure that their computer systems and their individual computers were Y2K compliant. I don't know if that was BS or not, but we all did it. And so you could say either it was BS or we did a really good job of prevention, like one of the first times ever in the history of mankind. We actually did a good job of preventing something because we usually never, ever spend money on prevention. This time we did. And so maybe we really did dodge a bullet. It's hard to tell because when the clock turned to 12:01 in 2000, nothing bad happened. The lights stayed on. The plane stayed in the air. The traffic lights continued to be red, yellow, and green. The nuclear bombs stayed in their launches. The grids, the electricities, everything was fine. So we either did a really, really great job of prevention then kudos to us because we rarely do that. Or it was a hoax that we all fell for. And I don't know. Maybe only a real computer person would know what really was the story there. Maybe there really was a problem. If there really was a problem, then kudos to us for looking ahead and actually fixing it. Because we rarely do that. But that was the big thing. And of course, then we even had controversies about the new millennium. When does it really start? Does it start in 2001 or 2001? Sorry about the O. Or does it start at 2000? Obviously, to have a year 2000 party was much cooler than having one, the welcome to the new millennium of 2001. That's kind of sounds, even though it's numerically correct because the first year is zero. You know, we started at zero when we started with our calendar. So it took a year to be the year one, right? You had to live that year and all that. There was a whole, you know, discussion about that. But yeah, come on. It sounded better when you went to, it's like when your car odometer changes from a, you know, from 999,000, you know, or 900 to 1,000, you get to watch all the one and all those zeros click over. Same thing here. Whether it was the real millennium or not in 2000, it was a change from a 1999 to a 2000. So, but all I'm saying is, my gosh, that was 20 years ago? Holy smokes. Holy mackerel. Holy cow, as it were. I can't believe it. You know, it seems like yesterday when it was 2000. And now it's 2020. Holy cow. Yeah, I mean, I remember. I mean, come on, those 20 years. I remember 2000. I remember exactly where I was at that party. We were talking about this the other day. I was talking this with my wife, and I'm like, okay, so the last 20 years, does it seem like it was 20 years? Does it seem as if this, when you were born until you were 20, didn't those 20 years seem to go by longer? Didn't it seem to take long to become 20? So think about from when you were born to when you became 20. It seemed like a long time, didn't it? But now think about from the year 2000 to now. Does it seem like the same passage of time? It seems much quicker. Unless, of course, you were born in 2000. Then you can't make that analogy. Because you don't have anything to reference it by. For those of us who are older than 20 right now, and if you're 20 years old, first of all, thank you for listening. Thank you for your listening service. But if you're older than 20, especially if you're in your 40s or older, even if you're in your 30s, you know, you've had a passage of 20 years already in your life. And wow, this one went by pretty quick. I can only imagine how fast the next 20 are going to go. But here we are in the last days of 2019. I hope it was a good year for you. Hope it was a good decade for you. I hope it was a good two decades for you. We've all gone through different things in the last 20 years. We've probably had our share of highs, our share of lows, our share of losses in terms of people. Maybe people in your life have passed away. Certainly in my life over the last 20 years, I was, you know, at that year 2000 party with my mom and dad. And here we are 20 years later, and they've both passed away. They both passed away within the last decade, in fact. So, I shouldn't say that. No, they passed away in the last, no, it's been almost 15 years that my dad passed away in 14. So what am I saying? Yeah, so that's been a while. But they did see the turn of the century and the new century, so that's kind of cool for them. They did not see the Cubs World Series, though. But, so certainly, you know, things have changed in the last 20 years. Things have changed the last 10 years. And I'm sure things will change in the next 10 and the next 20. And God willing, the next 30 and the next 40. But yeah, these really flew by, at least for me. They did. I don't know how about you. But once again, as we look at the end of a year, I hope that I do remember, talking about the speed of this, I do remember just sitting and talking about how we're starting a new year, 2019, and my usual kind of analogy of how we get a fresh, open, blank page for us to fill in the blanks for a new year in the next chapter of our lives. And so it's up to us to make sure we fill that page with a lot of memories. And as I look back at my page of 2019, I'm pretty satisfied with what happened and what I did to fill it. And it is our responsibility that will not get filled up on its own. Sometimes, yes, life will fill in some lines in there that you have to deal with. But most of that is filled in by you being proactive, not reactive. So, gentlemen, ladies, start your engines. You got a full page and a new decade as well. So once again, new page for a new year, and also first year of a new decade. You want to get the 2020s started in a good way. You got to start with the first year of them. So 2020. I don't know. You might even already have some things planned, hopefully. But I think the goal is every day to do whatever you can to make that day memorable, and hopefully accomplishments, personal, professional, special events, special things that you do, whatever it is, vacations, things you do at work, times you spend with your family, times you spend with your friends, concerts, dinners, whatever it may be, fill that page up. Because when that page goes away, you're not going to get it back again. And I'll tell you, one of the cool things that I've been doing, as I've said many times here, I do keep a daily planner. You know, those physical daily planners that have the calendars of every month in there that you can write little things. And I still use that. And I have been using those for, I would say, at least 20 years. And I have them all. The old ones all stored away. And I'll store 29 in there, or 2019 in there pretty quickly. And I've already got my 2020 day planner. Not only do I have it, I bought it in late November, mid-November, but I've already got it somewhat filled with dates of things I already know, like birthdays and anniversaries and events that are going to happen, like concerts or something like that, or dinner reservations or dental appointments and things like that. So I've already got my 2020 planner. It's already being used to some extent. We haven't even gotten there yet. But pretty soon, in another week or so, I will take a look back at my 2019 planner and remind myself a few really fun, memorable, special events happened that come right to mind, and they probably always will. But I'm sure there's plenty of other things that I've probably completely forgotten. And so it will be cool to go through that and go, oh, that's right. Oh, that was neat. That was cool. You'd be surprised. 365 days, a lot happens. And while you think you remember everything, this daily planner is a nice, tangible way to remind yourself of, not, as I said, not only things I've done in the last year, but I can go back in the last 5 or 10 years and know the exact date and what we did. And I wish I'd have done that more throughout my life when I've traveled, because we've traveled quite a bit, and I wish I would have sat down and written down even a line or two when we did something exactly on what date and when and where we went and what we did. Because it really is amazing how the days go by and you think you're going to remember this stuff forever, and you don't. That's why I like having the daily planner. Now, if you are, you know, look, I like to have tangible stuff. I'm old school. I like to touch and actually write in cursive. I know that's an odd thing too. But hey, look, if you're completely into the, you know, tech world, I understand that. That's great. So hopefully you have a device, and so hopefully you have a file or you have something, you have a calendar that you could save after it's done, where you can go back and look at that if you want, your own kind of, you know, digital daily planner, your virtual daily planner. But hopefully you have something like that with your appointments and your activities and events and special memories that did happen, not only in this year, but hopefully through the last several. Because, my gosh, time has certainly flown. And but, yeah, as I said, we're right there. We're knocking on 2020. So get your motors ready, strap in, and start making some memories for 2020. As well as remember some of the cool things you did in the last year and in the last 10 years and in the last 20. Wow. Whew. That was, I remember having been born in the middle, or well, the late part of the 19th, the late part of the 20th century, in the 19s. I remember when I was a little kid, you know, everybody talked about the year 2000. Because it was in most people's lifetimes at that point. Some older people hoped to live that long just because of the sound of it, the year 2000. You know, everybody's, we're still thinking about the Jetsons, even though the Jetsons world with the flying cars and all that stuff isn't here. But we certainly are living in a much more technologically advanced world than we were, as I said, my gosh, even 10 years ago. 12 years ago is when the iPhone was first introduced, in 2007 is when, I mean, think about that, 12 years ago, how fast that technology has dominated our lives and changed our daily routine. So we may not feel like we're living in a Jetsons world, but, you know, just in the last 20 years, we've certainly gotten a lot closer to a Jetsons world. It may be much longer than we expected, and much longer than the people back in the 1950s thought. By now, people in the 1950s thought by 2019, oh my gosh, they thought we would have colonies on the moon. They thought we would have flying cars. There was such an explosion of knowledge and of optimism and adventure in the 50s and 60s when we started space travel and, you know, cars and, you know, the whole middle class after World War II really exploded. And so more people had access to more things. And there was just this kind of explosion of knowledge and ambition and optimism and striving. And so, I mean, the fact that in 1960, President Kennedy said we're going to get to the moon before the end of the decade, and we did just this July, right? We celebrated the fact that it was 50 years ago that man first landed on the moon. But if we landed, you figure, if it was 50 years ago that we landed on the moon, I'm sure that people back then, and I was just a little kid, I remember it just vaguely. What was I, about five? I remember it. I still have my mom kept the newspapers, but my gosh, once we landed on the moon, the expectations were, now we have conquered space, and so get ready, because, you know, we're going to be living on the moon in 20 years. They probably thought that in the 70s, that we'll be living on the moon by the 90s, of course, the 1990s. And oh my gosh, by 2020, oh, the expectations for what this entire society would be like, it hasn't it has certainly advanced technologically Probably not in the ways we expected, because those ways were more traditional. We thought of a flying car because we had land-based cars, you know. We thought of living on the moon because we were living here on the earth. So we were always thinking of these great strides and these great improvements on what we already had. In the 1960s and 70s, no one saw the computer coming. I mean, that was still there were some, obviously computers were used in the space program, and that was very advanced. That coming down to the average person didn't even seem like that would ever happen. And there were, don't forget, back then those computers, they took up warehouses. You've got more power in your pocket right now in your iPhone, in your smartphone. You got more computing power in that little device than I bet you everybody at the entire Mission Control had in 1969. So we have advanced, but just not in the way that we thought we would. No one saw the internet coming. I don't even think, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates saw it really coming. And if they did, I don't think they could have predicted where it was going. And even when Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone in 2007, I doubt if he even saw where we would be in 2019. So we have advanced, there's no question. But I think that the expectations were the physicality of it. We have become more of a virtual society. In the 60s and 70s, we were a much more literal society. We were a tangible society. So when we looked to the future, we thought about it in those terms too. Where we lived would be a huge advance. We're going to be living on another planet or on the moon. What we drove was this tangible car. So if we've got this car that's driving around on the street, now in 50 years, we'll be flying. Now, through the virtual things, we can, especially now with the AI and this Oculus kind of virtual reality games and stuff, they can take you to anywhere in the world. We have, what the heck, Google Maps. I mean, GPS. Think about, if you told somebody in the 1970s, when they were looking at their road atlas, that they would hit a button either on their phone or in their car, and it would tell them where to go to make the next turn to get to their destination, they would have thought that was crazy. We take that for granted now. So we have moved. We're not Jetson-like in the pure sense of the word, because we think of, no roads in a completely, space kind of world. But we certainly, in the last 50 years, when you think about in the last 15 years, how our society and our behavior has changed thanks to technology, we're moving at a pretty good clip. We're not where we thought we would be in terms of space travel and colonization. But do we really want to? I mean, I don't know. Here's the other side of the coin. From what I've seen on the moon, from the pictures I've seen on the moon, and of the pictures they've sent back from those little rovers on Mars, I don't think we're missing very much. At the end of the day, I think, if anything, we should appreciate how beautiful Earth is. There's no water, there's no lakes, there's no, there might be some mountains, but it's mostly dust and dirt and caverns and, So I think one of the lessons we've learned from space travel is that the Earth is a pretty cool place. We're pretty lucky to be here. But yeah, 2020 on the way. Who knows what the next, things may seem so primitive in 2029. We're going to think back. Do you remember in 2019? Remember how big an iPhone was in 2019? That's what you're going to be saying. Remember that you used to hold your smartphone in your hand? Now it's in your palm. It's embedded in your hand. who knows what the next 20 are going to bring, next 10, but it'll be fun. So, as I said, get ready. Get your daily planners, your hard copies, or your virtual ones, or just start a file on your computer and start filling in that blank page, because you're getting a new one pretty soon on January 1st. Speaking of new stuff, I wanted to share an interesting little observation I made recently. Just a few weeks ago, we got a new car. We lease our cars. We've been leasing them for for almost 30 years. And I've always felt that it was, a better way to go, because we all know that cars do not appreciate in value. They depreciate, meaning they are never worth more. You'll never sell a car for more than you got it for, unless you buy some really cool vintage, hard-to-find car that's no longer made, that's been fixed up into mint condition, and you've found all the original parts. I'm not talking about those. I'm just talking about the average car that you go and buy at the lot. And so I've been leasing cars for many years because I just felt like, you never really own a car anyway until you make your final payment. You say, yeah, I went and bought a car. But unless you wrote a check or put your credit card down and pay for the whole thing in full, you don't own that until 3 or 4 or 5 years later, whatever kind of plan you made. Just like a house. You buy a house, but you really don't own that house until you pay it off completely. But at least with a house, hopefully after a 15 or 30-year mortgage and you paid it off, your house will be worth more, not only thanks to whatever improvements you may have made in that time, but just because of the value of land or your neighborhood going up. So that's why it's an investment. Cars are not an investment. And so I've always kind of looked at them that way. They're not an investment. So owning one doesn't really provide much value. And when you own it long enough, we all know that cars, especially these days, are not really meant to last, and so they demand a lot of maintenance, a lot of inconvenience because of that maintenance, a lot of price tags for that maintenance. Today, almost everything on a car to get it fixed is over $100 or $200, if that. Could be even higher. So by leasing a car, I feel like, yes, I have a payment. I always have a payment. If you buy a car and you finish paying it off, you no longer have that car payment, but then you have to pay the maintenance as things break down, which they inevitably will. And I would argue that what you pay for in maintenance when you need a new carburetor or when you need a new muffler or you need new spark plugs, you need a tune-up, whatever it is, I would argue that whatever you do in maintenance for that car after you've paid it off, after you've paid it off in 4 or 5 years, and now the car really starts to get old, whatever you pay in the maintenance and in the inconvenience not having that car and in the apprehension of, is my car in good shape enough? Is it falling apart? Should I drive that far? What you lose in dependability or trust in that car, those factors are, I think, are offset by me always having a car payment, because I will flip a car when my lease is up and get another lease. So yeah, I always have a car payment, but I don't have maintenance. I don't have the inconvenience of not having a car because of the maintenance, and I also don't have the fear that my car is falling apart. By having a new car every 3 or 4 years, I have a new car and I have a very good sense of reliability and dependability and trust that the car is in good shape. So that's my trade-off. But the interesting aspect of this, and I've been leasing cars for many years, so this is what we do. If you've listened to me with any regularity, you know that, and I've mentioned how I'm very loyal to things that I feel, have served me well. Handymen and, you know, certain restaurants and things like that. If I feel like I get a good deal, if I can rely on it, that I haven't been ripped off, I will keep going back to the well, to that person or that establishment or whatever it is. And same thing with cars. And it's even same things with models and makes of cars. For the most part, I've had a few times I haven't had the same make, but for the most part, I've had the same make of a car. I've gone to the same dealer for that car. And then many times, they've even had the same model. And that's what was I found interesting when I recently got this new car, was even though I got a new car, I got the same make and model, just a newer version. I had a 2016, now I have a 2019. But aside from that, it's the same make and the same model, same color. And in the 3 years, while there have been some upgrades to some of the technological things in the car, some of the safety aspects and some of the things, you know, in that little dashboard screen that every car has. But for the most part, in terms of the style of the car and the interior of the car and the overall dashboard, and there's a few little changes where the odometer is and things like that. But for the most part, the car looks and feels identical. You know, where where the gear shift is and where the armrest and the cup holders and where you do the mirrors and the glove compartment and where you open the thing for the gas and, you know, stuff like that. It's all pretty much the same. Not completely, but the same enough. Maybe a few little changes, but same concepts. So getting into the new car has been a very stress-free because it feels and looks like the previous model that we had. And so to get used to this car has been absolutely, there's been no getting used to it. Haven't had to. It's like almost driving the same car. It's just that instead of, 30-some thousand miles on it, now it's got 100, on it. And it smells better. It smells. It's got that new, nice new car smell. Although, I have to say, I don't know. Are they cutting back on new car smell? Are they doing something? I've always heard that the new car smell is really some kind of treatment that they put on the dashboard of a new car. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've been told. And I don't, and maybe there's some new technique. This car is not as robustly smelling of a new car as they have been in the past. Although I should say, when I put it in the garage, walking up to it, I could smell it. So I guess maybe it is. Maybe I just have this mindset that, there's that new car smell was always so prominent. Maybe it's just as prominent, but in terms of driving the car and getting used to it, like, when you rent a car, you have to sit down in there and, it's always, before I start a rent a car, I always, your first inclination is just to get started, right? If you rent a car, a lot of times you're on vacation, you want to get going. But I always do make a point to, curtail that excitement before I really get a nice lay of the land here, because you hate to be on the road and then realize, oh, I need to change my side view mirror. Oh, I need to move my seat back and forth. Oh, I need to change, the wheel, steering wheel where it's at. And oh my gosh, well, where's that? And where's this? So I always do sit in a rental car and make sure I know where at least those main things you need to know when driving a car. I set all my mirrors, side mirrors, rear view mirrors. I set those. I set the seat so it's comfortable. I set the wheel so it's comfortable. I get an idea of where, if the screen isn't up there, most of these cars are digital now, where's my speedometer? Where's my odometer? Where's my radio? Are there any stations here that sound good to me? if it has satellite in it. I don't usually order the satellite. Sometimes it comes with it. But if not, are there some local stations that I want to listen to here that I don't even know about? Let me find them on the radio first. You know, let me at least feel comfortable. Where are the windshield wipers in case I need those? You know. So there, because any new car, you have to get used to the new ways that that things are as opposed to the car that you drive. But what was so great about getting this a new car is this new car is that I didn't have to relearn anything. I didn't even have to look at the owner's manual. Zip, zip. I took the old stuff out of the old car, put it in a bin, you know, like, you know, things you have in your glove compartment, things you have in your, you know, in your trunk, you know, jumper cables and ice scrapers. And for me, you know, I always carry my my catcher's mitt with me and a ball and another mitt in case, you know, you never know when you get a good game of, game of catch coming. It might just, you know, if it's spontaneous. So I always have my catcher's mitt and another glove and a ball in my trunk. Because you never know. I always want to be prepared for a good game of catch. But, you know, different things like that in your car, in your glove compartment, in your visors, in your different packs, you know, or pockets of the car and things like that. You know, little pictures you may have or stuff you that dangle from the rearview mirror. So I put all that in a bin, put that in the garage. And when I pulled back in, I just put everything back into the new car in the exact spot where it was. So this car looked, for the most part, looked the design on the outside didn't change much at all, which was fine with me. And the interior didn't change all that much. I put everything back where it was. And zip, zip. No problems. Felt very comfortable. Now, some people would argue, well, that's no fun, Jim. The whole fun of getting a new car is getting a new car. You know, getting a different car. Why would you want the same car? How boring that is. And I guess I understand that mindset if, you know, you're really into cars. Sorry about that, but I'm not. I really look at cars as a mode of transportation. I want something, as I said before, very dependable. I want a nice looking car. I don't want a jalopy. I don't want it to fall apart. But I don't know the names, all the numbers. I don't know the new styles and body shapes. I don't know anything like that. Never was into cars, even when I was a little kid. I had some model cars, but I mostly got models of like figures, of like monsters. I never got cars. I did get a few cars, but the cars that I got, even as a little kid making models, when you make models when you're a little kid, if I got a car, it was the Munster's car, it was the Monkey's car, or it was Paul Revere and the Raiders car. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I want to get the Mustang or the Stingray. I don't know from that. As I said, my dad was never really, you know, into cars that much. You know, like that. And I think that's great. If people are, you know, into cars and collecting cars, or they really, you know, a lot of times, you know, people really identify themselves by the car that they have. I've never done that. Although I think I really have, though. I think I haven't, but I bet you I have, in that I like a car that that's dependable and that I get the same kind. So I'm sure that's a type of that reflects me. Because I said I'm like that in my life and other areas too. So some people like to have the flashy car. Some people like to have the most trendy car with the most trendy color and the new cool thing. And that is, you know, my car is the same color. I like a black car. I've had black cars for 30 years. You know, I've just had black cars with black interior. Same color. I've had a few different models and makes, as I've said, same, but same make, different models. You know, I've had sedans, SUVs, sportier SUVs, sedan hybrid SUVs. But, you know, I haven't had the cool car. I never did. And even when I was much younger, I never had, you know, an IROC or a convertible or a Corvette and all that stuff. It just, that was not my thing. And I have nothing against it. I think people that love cars, more power to you. I've got cool collecting things and obsessions that I have. Other people look at that like it's crazy, and they say, my gosh, I love my car. And some people have, you know, a car that they drive, and then some people have another car that they just kind of, you know, they have their it's like their pet, you know, and they bring it out maybe on a Sunday. It's kind of a vintage car that they work on or something like that. That's their, you know, obsession. More power to you. They take it out to shows, you know, or they go to, like, you know, some places, you know, they all have these kind of vintage cars on a Saturday night or something where they all park and kind of tailgate and stuff. Hey, great. That's just not me, though. And so what's so funny was I didn't even really tell anybody that we were getting a new car because it wasn't that big of a deal to me. And really, as I said, you wouldn't even be able to tell unless you smelled it. From a distance, you would have no idea of knowing. And once again, I'm not trying to make a statement. It's just that that's how I view a car. I view a car as it's a necessary mode of transportation, and I want one that is dependable, that I like, that I feel comfortable in, that I feel confident in, and that, you know, is a nice-looking car, but it's not the most flashiest or the most in demand or the most coolest on the road. I'll look for that kind of stuff and other things that I like to collect. But apparently through the grapevine or something, somebody found out that we got this car, and we just went to their house. And so we pulled up, and they greeted us outside with, "Well, I thought you got a new car." And I said, "Well, we did." "Well, it's the same color. It's the same car. That's not, when you get a new car, you're supposed to get a new car, meaning a different car, at least a different color." And I'm like, "Why? This is the color I like. This is the make and the model I like. I don't know, when you order a hot dog, don't you, for the most part, don't you always get the same thing on your hot dog? I mean, you know, there's some things that you just always get. That's what you like. You know, you like a steak medium rare. You don't change to well done. You get a hot dog with, you know, onions and tomatoes and a pickle and mustard, and that's what you get, right? Well, you ever so often say, well, you know, I'm just going to go for relish this time. No. I get a new car. I like this color. So I'm not going to get a different color. That's just me, though. But there was almost like an indignation. Like, well, like I was disappointing them. Like, well, that's, what fun is that? Well, I don't derive fun from getting a new car, in getting a new car. Now, you know, hopefully, you know, I mean, and a lot of people do. For many people, you know, getting a new car is and should be, you know, a fun and exciting and even for me, there's some to that, but for the most part, it's not, because I'm really getting the same car. But I there was a time when I got a different car, a luxury car, and it was kind of fun and cool to have that. But I didn't obsess over it either. But I mean, that's the one thing that if you know, you talk about a new car. Thankfully, as I said, I've been going to the same dealer for many years. I've been dealing with the same salesperson for a few years now, and so getting this new car was actually very pain-free and stress-free. And hopefully moving forward, that's the one thing about the whole car experience. I hope that, you know, as I said, from my standpoint, I go to the same place in the hope that my loyalty will breed loyalty from them, and that I won't have to go through the excruciating pain and stress of that negotiation. For those of you who have or will be buying a new car soon, or have in the recent past, you know, And if you've bought cars over a long time period of your life, you know that the biggest, the shame of that is that for most people, buying a new car, getting a new car is really a cool experience. It should be. It's a major purchase, and it is an extension of you. You're driving it out in public, you know, so it's an extension of your personality to some extent. And it's something new, and it's something, as I said, a major purchase. So you want to show it off, and you want to make sure that you're getting a good deal on it too, right? There's the practical side as well as the impractical side on a new car. The practical side is you want to worry about the price. The impractical side is you want all these cool bells and whistles, and you're almost like a little kid in a candy store. And there is a practical side of it, too. But many times you will probably lean toward the impractical and pay the extra for something cool that you want. So the whole process of buying a car should be fun and exciting. And the beginning of that process is when you go to the car dealership and you start looking around at the cars, and when you're looking maybe online or something like that, or you're taking test drives and things like that, that's fun. You're looking at all these different cars. You may be driving several different ones, and the salesman is very right there with you and showing you all the different aspects. And today, especially, they're most proud of what's in the dashboard. Used to be what was underneath the hood. Those days are gone. I don't even hear them talk about what's under the hood anymore. You don't even know if there's an engine in the car anymore. They just tell you about how cool it is. You can get your Spotify lists and your Bluetooths and your driver's safety, electric, brakes that stop it, or, you know, all your social media stuff you can do in your car. There was a time when when people cared about the horsepower and what kind of, steering it had and, you know, what kind of brakes. No, they don't even tell you that unless you ask. Now it's all about what's inside the car. So there's a lot of excitement, right? And that first part of the buying process is fun and exciting. You get to drive around. And as I said, the salesperson is all excited for you and talking it up. And you that new car smell when you get in there and the doors slam just a lot tighter. You know, there's nothing like this, the sound of a new car door closing, you know, that tight sound. So, yeah, you know, there's all this excitement and anticipation. And then when you finally decide to get it, that's even, there's a great excitement in that. And then comes the big pin in the balloon. When you say, okay, let's do it. Let's buy this one. And then you go to that little office. And then all the fun goes out of it. Then there's this mysterious boss that the salesperson has to go to, and you start negotiating this price, and you go back and forth. There's been some times I've literally been in a car dealer for 8 hours. It's excruciating. And they always have to come, well, let me talk to my boss. I don't even know if that boss exists. I think, especially here we are in 2020 practically, right? We're all about transparency. I think those days of the mystical and mythical boss who's down the hall somewhere, I don't even know if that person really exists. I think the price of this car is, and what they want to sell it for, is already there on a piece of paper, and there's some mythical boss there that is debating with the salesperson. And then the salesperson comes back as the messenger. Well, you know, he said the best he can do is this. I don't know if that exists or not. If you're a car salesperson, I would love to know if there really exists that boss. But if he does, if he or she does exist, I think in the 2020s now, in a zest for transparency, shouldn't that boss, who the salesperson is to keep leaving that office to and go to for that, shouldn't that boss come sit right down with you? Shouldn't we hear that exchange between them? Or better yet, should there be no exchange between the boss and the salesperson? Shouldn't the buyer and the boss Why do we need this salesperson being the messenger for this good or bad news? Well, I got good news from the boss. Let the boss tell me. Let me negotiate with the boss. Let me hear the boss tell me what the problem is with why I can't get the better deal. Let the boss look me right in the eye and tell me why. That last mile of the car buying process should be just as fun and stress-free as that first mile was when I was going for the test drives and deciding on it and looking at all the different ones. That's fun. The entire process should have that same kind of feeling to it. It shouldn't be two distinct feelings: fun at the beginning, stress at the end. I think there's a way that they can do that. Now, a lot of places, a lot of car dealers are trying to simplify and make that entire experience a positive one. You shouldn't be driving away with a bad taste in your mouth, especially after you spent, you know, making a major purchase, one of the major purchases of your life, one of the biggest monthly payments you may have in your entire budget. You should walk away with a smile on your face, feeling good about it, not a sour taste, feeling bad about it. A lot of times you walk away feeling, you know, he knew I wanted this car, and so they took advantage of me. You shouldn't drive away that way. And a lot of places are trying to eliminate that. A lot of places now have eliminated the negotiation aspect of buying a car and just said, here's the price. Sticker price on the car. We've already taken into consideration the negotiation, blah, blah, blah. Here's our price. Just like when you go in to buy a pair of jeans at a store, you don't negotiate it. Oh, they cost $100. I'll give you $85. And they say, well, no, how about $90? And then I say $92, and they say, fine. No. You go up to the counter. It costs $100. You pay $100. That's what it is. I don't know why the car became this negotiating thing. If you buy a new toilet, it costs that much. You go to the Menards, you go to Home Depot, and I want the new toilet for $89.99, and it costs $89.99. You don't say, oh, I'll give you $60. No, there's a price tag on it. You pay it. Why can't a car be that way? A lot of places are doing that now, and I applaud those. And now we're seeing some apps that you can actually go online, buy a car. They'll deliver it to your house. You have 7 days to turn it back. You could be watching, you know, Netflix and ordering and buying a car at the same time. That seems very cool. I don't know if it works as smooth as they say, but oh my gosh, on the commercials I've seen, wow, huge improvement over the current situation of the fun part of picking it out and deciding, and then the stress part of negotiating. So car dealers, you know, it's 2020, gang. It's a new decade. Let's give the people a little more of a good experience from top to bottom, from front to back, from beginning to end. And I think that only helps you want to come back to that same place and do business with them again. But I don't know about you, but I just like, you know, having the same car. And I don't feel any kind of peer pressure or thing to get a new car. And I'm sorry if I disappoint my friends by not getting a different car of a different make and a different color or a different model. But this is what I do. And when they get a new car, I say, oh, that's a nice car. But I just don't obsess on it. It's not something in my wheelhouse. So I'm not even going to tell anybody, really, in my personal life. I'm telling you guys here. I don't know how many people are going to be listening or not. But I'm going to do a little experiment with most of my close friends here. I'm not even going to tell them that I got a new car. And I'm going to see if anybody, aside from if they see it from a distance, if they come close, they may smell the new car. And they may ask, hey, did you get a new car? But if they just see it from afar, I bet you they won't even know. And I'll just, and if they do, and we're going to see if they even say anything. And, but one way or the other, it won't matter to me. But I just found interesting this reaction that I got from, well, that's no fun. You're supposed to get a new car with a new color. It's like, I don't know. For me, I'm in a car that I like, a car that I'm comfortable in, and a car that I know that where everything is, I get in, it gets me to where I have to go, and it gets me back. If it's got a few little cool, little bells and whistles on it, that's okay. But, I'm not all, into that cool, that whole aspect of it. But all I would ask, folks, is I bought the same make and model, just a different year, just a newer year, of my old car to now my new car. Please don't hate me for it. And so, ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com or anywhere that you find your favorite podcast. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, and tell your friends about Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your listening pleasure. I hope that you enjoyed episode 188. And you will come right back next week for episode 189. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Thanks for your loyalty and dedication to this podcast. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of the web to your screen. Gentlemen, start your engines.